You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am here with my amazing co-host, Abinella. Hi, Abby.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm super good because we are here with one of our very favorite guests of all time, Rachel Carman. Rachel with an A-E-L.
It's true.
Hi, and Carman with an A-N.
I know. I'm a 4A person. So that's how it goes. So yeah.
Well, welcome to the podcast, Rachel. Welcome back. We are thrilled to have you back and very excited to have you on talking about 7 simple steps to sanity. And I can't think of a better topic to discuss right now.
I know, right?
During
I know.
Just this crazy time of life. Than sanity, because we all need a little bit of sanity. I don't know.
We all need a lot of sanity.
We all need a lot of sanity. Yes.
And there, it feels like there's not very much sanity all around us. I also think
so true.
In the time where so many people right now are considering homeschool that have never considered it before, one of the biggest things I keep hearing is, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my mind. The academics don't worry me. This doesn't worry me. That doesn't worry me. But I just feel like I'm going to go insane, you know? So I think
exactly.
This is a perfect topic for that as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and even if you don't think you might go insane, everybody in your life is confident that you already have. I mean, you're just considering it, right? Your mother and your neighbors and your friends and everyone is trying to talk you out of it. I mean, that was my experience, right?
Yeah.
I mean, totally. I remember, I will not name who said this to me, but they were like, Rachel, you know, like trying to get attention. Rachel, how is it possible for you to do what it takes an entire building of professionals to achieve?
Right.
You know, and they were like looking at me like, focus. Oh, you're losing your mind. You kind of feel that way. And it's truly a topic that resonates, right? Because the first time I gave this presentation, so we've been homeschooling for 25 years. Crazy.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do this, which we talked about that in the past, so we won't go back into that story, but I didn't want to do this. I got into this kicking and screaming. I mean, it is a testimony to the goodness of God and his grace and his mercy. New every day that we've done this. 7 kids, 5 high school graduates, 4 college graduates. So, I mean, we've got a dog in this fight, right? We really believe in this. So the first time I gave this presentation was, wow, about 19 years ago this month, because my daughter who just graduated from college was an infant.
Oh, wow.
And I was getting to speak at our state conference for the first time. And I kind of pitched this title because I had felt like I was losing my mind, right? I thought I was going crazy. And then God in his goodness had revealed these things we're going to talk about to me and taught me so much. And I really do believe not only do we need each other, but we need to teach it forward, right? We've got to share. That's what our fellowship is really supposed to be about. Okay. So it's not supposed to be about us or stuff or doing things. It's really supposed to be about us coming together and go, I've got to tell you what God did this week.
Yeah.
I've got to share with you what he showed me in his word. I've got to tell you how he blessed me this week. I've got to tell you how he's growing me. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We don't do that very often, but feeling convicted that, oh my goodness, God has taught me so much. And I'm only at that time, 5 years in, I thought I've got to share this with people because I felt like I was losing my mind when I first started.
Yeah.
So they actually allowed me to speak, which is retrospectively hilarious, right? Because I'd only been doing this for 5 years. And I literally nursed my infant daughter and handed her off to my husband. And walked into this room. This room sat 500 people. And there was standing room only.
Wow. So it struck a chord.
And I was like, Oh my, I was like thinking a few people would show up. Oh my goodness. And there's moms like right at my feet with their poised to take notes. And I was like, sweet Jesus, I need to say something. I mean, they came hoping I was going to say, and I just remember going, okay, like we're going to pray. And I was like, okay, Lord, please come in this moment and encourage these moms. Cause I started to doubt, what if this isn't going to be helpful?
Yeah.
But that I've given this presentation now for 19 years. Yeah. And every time I do it, it still strikes a chord. Because I do think we get a lot of criticism. It does sound crazy, although it's not crazy. I mean, you think about the God of the universe gave us these kids. Of course, we would stay with them. Right. Of course, we would disciple them. Of course. But our culture has shifted so significantly that it seems nutty that we would be with our kids. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is an effort to interject some sanity in what might seem like an insane decision.
Yeah, well, it does seem like an insane decision to a lot of people, but I think more and more as we're seeing a huge culture shift with all that has happened, and now all of these parents who have had their children home with them, it has been so amazing. There have been so many difficult things that have come out of this shutdown and, you know, all that's happened, but one of the things that we have seen as a huge blessing is that parents, many of them for the first time, have said, oh, having my kids home with me is different than what I thought it would be. And and so there's hope. And it's so very exciting to see these parents just going, I can actually do that. Because those like us who thought homeschooling was insane before we did it. And we thought, you know, I mean, as a matter of fact, it's so funny. One of my very favorite lines in the Schoolhouse Rock trailer, if you see it, and as Garrett's pulling the movie together right now, it's so fun to just see it all happening, is Heidi St. John says, you know, what sane woman would want to stay home with her kids all day when a school bus will come and take them away and give you like a 9-hour break every day? I mean, really? I used to think, why would I want to be home with my kids all day, every day?
Yeah.
And then I had them, and then I fell in love with them. And then I was like,
And then it shifts, and you start to, especially with what's happening now, if you zoom out a little and you start thinking of it from God's angle, it feels more insane to send them out into a place so foreign, teaching completely contrary to God's word, and right now that are going to mask them and all the things they're going to do. And now you start to look at it and go, I mean, I'm seeing more people anyway flip flop and say, that feels insane. Right. Why would I send these precious little, you know, these precious little kids who are so, you know, influenced out into that world? So there's definitely a shift happening. Yes. So we're feeling, I feel like people are looking at me like I'm maybe a little bit more sane,
right?
Not fully, but maybe.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, look at the three of us, you know, I mean, we look relatively sane, you know, I don't know what I thought homeschool mothers look like, but they didn't look like any of us. No. Right. I mean, I remember I went to my first conference and I was like, these people look like normal.
Right.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
And I actually said it out loud, and my husband was like, so you were expecting. And I don't know what I was expecting, but, you know, we really are moms just like you.
Yep.
Right.
And we're imperfect, and yet we're pressing forward, and doing that together is the best case scenario.
Right. Oh, and our kids are just like yours. It's not like we have these perfect kids so we can stay home with them. Believe me, come spend a day in my house. They're not perfect. Right. And neither am I.
Right, and they'd love to tell you that, right?
In fact, they will get on here and tell you.
They will. Yes.
Yes. Though, it's exciting to see that so many now are looking at homeschooling going, okay, well, I could maybe do this. And at the same time, it's terrifying for those who are new to it, those who are just now considering it. It's a little terrifying to those of us who have been doing it for quite some time still. Yeah, you know, we're going into our 10th year of homeschooling, but we're going into a new season. My oldest is going into high school this year. And I'm like, this is scary. Like, this is real now. I mean, not that it wasn't real before, but I mean, we're talking about more serious, you know, record keeping and, you know, I mean, it's a little bit different of a ball game that we're playing mm-hmm. now. And so it can rattle us and shake us a little bit. So Rachel, I would love for you to just kind of let's run with this. And you've got seven simple steps. So I'm assuming you have kind of seven different points that you'll walk us through. And
do you know how comforting that is? Seven simple steps to sanity.
Right.
And it's like the most
favorite number. We all know that.
That's so comforting. See, I thought sanity would be like 1,000 really difficult things.
Only seven. Well, it is funny because I wish I could give everyone who's with this or watches this. I have a little presentation card that goes with this. And I was sharing it. I have a team of women that prays for me in my ministry and when I go speak. And I was giving them my presentation card on this the other day. And one of them said, "You got this titled wrong." And I said, "Oh, no, I just printed 1,000. And she said it should be seven seemingly simple steps to sanity. She said, because they all sound simple, right? And I mean, like, I just to back up, I feel like the gospel message is simple, right? We're all sinners. We need a savior, and God provided for that savior in the person of Jesus Christ. Right. It's a simple message. There's a simple invitation. All who believe on him will be saved. It's simple, right?
Right.
And it's hard at the same time. So I just want to say at the outset, I know it's easy to say these are simple, but I also know that these are all progressive. It's a process, right? It is not flipping a switch. There's no pixie dust. There's no instant fix. But these are simple in that they're not complicated,
right.
But they are challenging. And so,
yeah.
That's what I just want. My little caveat to the word simple.
Well, thank you. Seven seemingly.
Seemingly simple. So the first thing is it's all about perspective. The first thing we've got to do if we want to find sanity in this insane decision is must seek God. Mm. We must seek God. And Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." So first means before curriculum.
Yep.
Before figuring out your schedule or your routine for the day, before you panic, or maybe when you panic, seek God. We must do that first. And with all of these families who are really thinking about stepping out and taking this first step on what we refer to as the adventure of a lifetime, homeschooling, seeking God is key because you need to have a focal point. Mm-hmm. And I would humbly but boldly suggest that the focal point as you step out is God's glory and honor. Mm-hmm. God, I believe, is always in the process of doing two things, always. And you can count on these two things. You can see it from Genesis to Revelation in his story. Over and over, God is doing two things, glorifying himself mm-hmm. and growing us all the time. And so if we purpose, if we determine, if we resolve to seek him first in all things, especially as we step out by faith to do this homeschool adventure, he will direct our path. Mm-hmm. Look, when I first started, and I'm betting that this was true for both of you because it's very common, I thought I had to figure it all out. I felt like there was like this secret code I had to crack. Uh-huh. And I had to figure it all out and then it would be good. Mm-hmm. Let me just put you all at ease. And I'm going to say something that will simultaneously liberate and terrify. So just hang with me. This really isn't about figuring it all out.
Yeah.
I'm 25 years in. And that is the most profound thing I figured out is that it's not about figuring it out. Yeah. It's really about continually, persistently seeking God,
right?
Seeking to honor him, seeking to follow him, seeking to point your children to him, mm-hmm. Seeking their relationship with him, pointing them to him. You know, they're going to have questions, they're going to have concerns, and they're going to be things that you don't know. And you can say, "I don't know. Let's seek God." You know, I have one son right now that just feels he's just in the throes of, you know, what is he going to do forever and ever? You know, mm-hmm. that high senior thing. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And I just keep saying, you know what? I know that God has a plan. And we're right now, instead of revealing it to us, he's inviting us to just trust him.
Yeah.
And if I've said that once, I bet I've said it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's not getting it, but he is getting it. because saying it over and over blesses me, it calms me, mm-hmm. right? And it shows him, I'm not his answer.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
There's not an institution that's his answer. God's his answer.
Yeah.
Right.
And talking to him and pointing him. So as I see God, my kids see me seek God, right? And then when they're in those moments, they can say, I don't know what to do, Mom, but I'm going to pray about it and see what God does. I'm like, yay, because God's going to do it. So seeking God is our first step, sanity.
Yeah, I love that. You know, you hear the term monkey see, monkey do, and our kids, they copy what we do. Yeah. And so if we're freaking out about life and the simple things of life, like, you know, not that homeschooling is simple, but if we're constantly freaking out about all the decisions that need to be made, you know, what curriculum we're going to use and you know, how we're going to teach this, and are we going to do a co-op, or are we going to do, you know, like, there are just are so many decisions that need to be made on a daily basis, even, you know, what's for dinner tonight. But, you know, if they see us always going to the Lord, seek first the kingdom of God, they will learn to just naturally do that themselves, because that's how they grow up, and that's what they know to do. So what a blessing.
And yet I want
to
say to the mom out there that's panicked, okay, this is something, this is really good news. God is big enough for your panic.
Yeah.
So you don't have to get it all together and act like you're not panicked when you are. I'm sure, Yvette and Abby, I'm sure that you too have panicked, right?
I mean, absolutely.
You've had curriculum that you thought was just amazing and you failed on day one, right? Or you thought you were going to do this and it didn't work out, or you got halfway through the year and you realized that nobody remembered what you had been doing. Yeah. I mean, we've all had, and you're just like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do?
Right.
Your God is big enough for that. Yes. He is big enough for your doubt. He's big enough for your frustration. And that's what I love about God's word, is if you study, especially the Psalm of David, I mean, David is like, so how long, right? I mean, you can sense how frustrated and exhausted and tired David is. God is big enough for that.
Yeah.
The point is that we take it to him. We don't run to something else or someone else.
Yeah.
But that we take it to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. When everything was happening, the onset of all this insanity that's happening around us, my 6-year-old said, she was 5 at the time, and because she turned 6 right during the whole thing. And she said, it was so sweet. We were sitting there one night and we were just kind of talking about the way the world was responding. And she said, Mommy, why is everybody panicking? It's not like God's getting littler. And it was so profound. It's like, God isn't getting littler. Why are we all panicking? He's still God. He's still big enough. And that was a really big thing with everything that's going on. But I think, why do I panic in the little things, like the tiny little things with homeschool? It's not like God's getting littler, she said. And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's real wisdom from a little girl. That's cool.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So as we're seeking God, the second step, and I really do think these interplay with each other. They don't really build on each other. It's really how they work together. The second thing is serving others. Mm-hmm. So in this culture that's telling us, especially as women and as moms, we've got to take care of us, right? That is not how God lays it out. True joy, according to God and his word, and the many examples we have in scripture, comes from serving others, thinking of others, Paul writes, better than yourself, considering the needs of others. Elizabeth George wrote in one of her books, which title I forget and I apologize, she did a book on being a good wife. And she talks about in that book about asking your husband, what can I do to serve you today? And it's so easy for us as wives to get in the habit, and we've got, you know, we have these honey-do lists, you know, all these things we want our husband to do, you know. What if we really took, and I get that this is culturally controversial, but what if we reclaimed what we were made to do and actually sought to serve him?
Yep.
What if we actually said, what can I do to serve you today? And what if we did that for our kids? Look, I've got 4 adult children in my house, 2 sons that are in high school, so 16 and 18. But then I had 2 daughters who transitioned home during COVID. So we went from 4 of us to 6 of us. and two daughters who were very used to being self-directed and on their own and coming and going and having their own thing. And so transitioning them home with all of the emotion and everything, it became really important that me being sensitive to them. Mm-hmm. And I got into the habit of very early on when they were home and they were getting, you know, they had to have their desk upstairs so they could do everything online. It was crazy. And I would go in as they were settling in the morning. Is there anything that I can do for you this morning? Hmm. Anything I can get for you today? Would you like a cup of tea? Can I rotate your laundry for you? You know, it's not usually some mountain moving thing mm-hmm. that makes all the difference in serving someone.
Right.
Sometimes it's as simple as a cup of tea. Sometimes it's as simple as folding a load of laundry or making a favorite meal. I mean, but really getting into the habit of serving others. Mm-hmm. I think we're in a culture that is nurturing narcissism, right?
Yep.
And it's all about me. And I want everyone to pay attention to me.
Yep.
And that, you know, we're producing a lot of lonely, sure. unhappy people.
That's right.
And what makes you happy? Thing.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. But when we consider the happiness of someone else, our joy could not be more full. When we're seeking to serve someone else. And I'll tell you this, and again, this doesn't come with a guarantee, but what I found and what my experience has been as a mom is that's the kind of service that becomes contagious in your home. Mm-hmm. I have found, just without exception, that my kids will end up saying, Mom, is there something I can do for you? Not all the time. I mean, and some of them are more predisposed to that than others. I mean, we can just agree on that, right? Yeah, some just right. come wired that way. But it is really remarkable how even tonight, okay, so tonight we sort of rushed through dinner. We had, Davis was gone all day and the boys had something and my one daughter's still at work at Chick-fil-A and my other daughter's working this morning. So we're trying to have dinner together, right? And so I was rushing in to get my, one more thing, I wanted to get some notes before I came in. And my one son said to me, he goes, Mom, keep breathing. It's going to be fine.
Oh.
You're going to do it. And I was just like, see, that kind of sensitivity comes out of serving each other.
Yes.
That kind of awareness comes out of serving each other.
Right.
And yes, you can. I have found that at my lowest, most exhausted, most tired, feeling the most empty, when I can choose to think and do for somebody else, it changes everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Changes.
Yeah. And I think
paramount. Go ahead.
Because this is about sanity. And I think when I find myself getting really, really stressed or feeling that insane feeling, it's because my eyes are all on me. It's because I'm thinking yes. about me and what works for me and my agenda and my plan and my me. And I think when we serve others, there's so much less room for even getting stressed or panicked or losing our sanity because you get your eyes off of you and onto others and onto the Lord, and it just naturally goes away.
Mm-hmm. True. It's true. And, you know, in this adventure called homeschooling, one of the unique opportunities we have is serving our children as individuals, something that the system and the institution cannot do.
Absolutely.
We have an opportunity to look at each child individually and consider what their unique wiring is by a holy God, what their unique talents are, their interests are. So we have an opportunity to serve them. Whereas it might be easy to do one curriculum for everyone, this child might need us to do something different or attend to something different, approach it different. And if we just have that service mindset, it really helps to stop frustration.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I do want to say on that point too, we also have to know when to say no and saying yes to our family first. Because I think sometimes, you know, some people are, if their love language is acts of service, they always want to say yes to everybody and everything. And
sure.
so, you know, they're serving in the church nursery and or they're leading, you know, ministries right. here and there, leading co-ops here and there. Like they're trying to do everything because they want to serve others. They have the heart for that. But that sometimes mm-hmm. when it comes especially to sanity and homeschooling and being home with our kids, that can sometimes kind of backfire a little bit and get you to the point where you're completely overwhelmed mm-hmm. because you're saying yes to everyone else. And not saying no to the most or not saying yes to the most important things, which are your children and your husband and being able to serve them. And there's, you know, there's always room for serving in other areas. But how have you found, Rachel, to find that balance between serving others and still keeping your family the priority?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it actually dovetails perfectly into the third one. Uh-huh. And that is about staying focused, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, you must stay focused. Look, I don't believe the enemy is really too worried about getting any of us to commit some heinous sin, right? Like murder or adultery. I don't think he even bothers with that. He's completely content to just distract us off what really matters. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I mean, if he can get us to sin, hey, that's awesome. But I think what we are more likely to be in trouble with these days and what really can bring down our mindset and our focus and our joy and our sanity is we lose focus on what really matters. Mm-hmm. And so I think the enemy is working overtime to keep us distracted. I overheard a mom the other day saying that she missed her social media because the kids were home and she was having to attend to their studies. Wow. Look, if your social media is more interesting than your kids, we need to say a prayer. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, the enemy is having a heyday with how easily we have become as mothers being distracted with what doesn't matter.
Right.
And we've all witnessed it, right? I was in the store the other day, I think it was in Target. So many great illustrations happen at Target. Just saying. And this mom was there and she was on her phone simultaneously pushing a cart and her like 5-year-old child was on a phone. And neither was having face-to-face. And this kid kept trying to say things to mom to get their attention. And the mom was just, I knew more about what the kid was saying than the mom. Look, our kids ought not have to fight for our attention. Mm-hmm. And it's easier, I believe, for us to focus on our kids when we are focused on the glory of God.
Absolutely.
Because I believe as we focus on glorifying God, and his word says, in word and deed. So not just we want to say, I honor God, but actually that we live in a way that honors God. And so when we can stay focused on what really matters, that is actually one of the ways that we know how to say no to things.
Right.
Because we know that, you know, primarily I need to make sure that I have time for my relationship with God, mm-hmm. because everyone in my life knows when I'm not having time with him. Yeah. I might be able to fool me, but I'm not fooling anybody else, right? I'm not loving my husband. I'm not listening to those around me. I'm not available to my children. When I'm not having time with God, it's evident in the way that I'm living. That's how right. it works. So primarily focused on God, focused on taking time and being available for my husband, for conversation, for intimacy, and being available, being present with my children. Mm-hmm. It is so important to me that we practice being present.
Right.
One of the ways we do this, you've all heard of this before, and that is no devices at the table. Mm-hmm. We're present. We're not distracted by a buzz or an alarm or a call. This is dinner time. And so we want to be able to have that focus time. I think it's so important for your kids to be able to know when they've got you.
Mm, yeah.
I get that there are times, and I mean, obviously we're participating in them one now. Our objective for this time together tonight is to be able to encourage moms, and they would need to be online to participate in that. That's well and good, but not all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So I found when we homeschool, so old days, right, when there was a little corded phone or a cordless phone, right? And we literally would put it on hold until 2. Mm-hmm. My kids knew they had me.
Yeah.
Until 2. It wasn't a question if there wasn't a phone to ring, right?
Right.
And so I think it's important that our kids know that we're focused on God and his glory and that we're focused on our marriage and that we're focused on them when we're with them. And then that means that we do say no. And there's 2 things under being focused. And that's 1, setting limits. Setting limits like no devices at the table. Mm-hmm. Setting limits and what we're going to do. One of the other things that we had to do early on was limit how many nights a week we were out. Mm-hmm. We decided that we were not going to be just another family that had something every night of the week. But we were going to do Awana. whatever night that was. And then kids could choose like one sport. Mm-hmm. Look, there's enough for all of us to never be home, right? You can join a ton. But it has been my experience that you get the most important things done when you are at home for a long period of time. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. It means we have to set limits. And the second thing is what you were just talking about, Yvette. That is, we have to be able to say no. I have really good news again. We're not superwoman. We're in a culture that wants us to aspire to that. We're a culture that really, really worships busy. I came across a definition of busy that really struck me and really convicted me. It's the continual, persistent pursuit to achieve that which cannot be achieved.
Wow.
In other words, it's literally, in the words of Solomon, a chasing after the wind. Mm-hmm. It's really chasing after your tail. You can't catch the wind and you can't catch your tail. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think I've done a study in scripture. We are to be in pursuit of God. Paul talks about pressing forward. He talks about running the race, but nowhere do I see that we are called to continually pursue finishing and doing things that we cannot. And so I think that that's what, when it comes to saying no, we can't do everything. As you get into homeschooling, sometimes you just feel like, there's so many good things. I want to do it all. Yeah. And just, it's better to do fewer things really well than to try to do everything halfway.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think too, some of the distractions, and like we say, okay, the woman was on her phone and that was such a distraction, but sometimes the distractions are really, really good things. And so we don't pay attention to them. Like, I'm so busy doing ministry at church, I don't have time for the kids, or I'm so busy, you know, planning. So I'm lesson planning. I've got to get this done for the good of the family. So they're not always bad things. And another thing about really being able to focus, I love what you're saying about focus, is it helps us also be in tune with our kids. Yes. We just today, we've been with one of our kids. All of a sudden I've seen a shift in their behavior in the last 3 weeks. It's just, there's been a shift in we needed some character training. And I was like, what is it? But I realized we have been filling, because it's summer, we've been filling our schedule with good things. They've been good things. Sure. We've been with friends. We've been at, and I, because you say we're focused, we're with our kids, we're home with our kids, we're focused on our children. I noticed that subtle shift and I realized we needed to pull back from good things, from, you know, all the good things that we had. But because we are with our kids every day, all day, we can focus on them in a way that I might have missed that had he been gone every day, all day. So it allows us to also be really in tune with our kids and what they're struggling with and what we can do to help them through that. And ultimately, not just for my sanity, but for my kids' sanity as well.
Exactly. And it's really good to remember that the distractions can be seemingly positive things. And you know, like for me as a speaker, it's really easy when I get all these calls to go and speak somewhere to just completely fill my calendar.
Right.
Look, I still have kids at home and I'm not going to be gone every weekend because I don't think that honors God for me to neglect the primary mission field that God has given me here at home.
Right.
And so sometimes I say more no's than I say yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm convicted that I need to be here and it's a season, right? I don't know what the future holds. I've already got grandkids and I'm here to tell you, I'm going to spend time with my grandkids. So my nose will probably continue. But the good news is God he's not depending on me to be everywhere.
Right.
You know, so just because a call comes, would you come and speak? Would you come and minister at church? Would you come and do such and such? God, that doesn't mean that it's the voice of God.
Right.
We need to discern and know what is really needed at a home and in our marriages and prioritize those things first. And as women, we need to give each other permission to say no.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think
one of the best things I think we can do too is talk with our husbands about it and ask him. I know, you know, when I go to Garrett and I say, you know, what do you think about this schedule that we're looking at, or this, you know, whether it's curriculum schedule, whatever, you know, or we want to go do this thing, what do you think about that? And oftentimes he'll see things differently than I see them. Yeah. And he'll say, it's probably not going to work out for you to do that because X, Y, Z. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And sometimes I disagree. But, you know, I do my very best to be respectful to him as the leader of our home. But, you know, I really do respect his opinion. And sometimes he'll just say, you know what? It doesn't make any difference to me whatsoever. Whatever you think is best for our family. But I do think it's wise to go to our husbands and ask them, especially if it's something that we're struggling with, a decision that we're not sure that's going to affect our whole family. Rachel, thank you so much. It has been such a joy to talk with you. We are going to finish this conversation on Wednesday, but really quickly, where can people find out more about you?
You can find me on Facebook, Rachel Carman, and they can also find me at rachelcarman.com. That's RachelCarman.com.
Okay, sounds great. We will see you guys back here on Wednesday. Bye.